Hello, everyone. Well, as you know, last week, if you were here, we went over Genesis chapter, I believe it was 10 and 11. So the chapter before, the one we're going over with now, had a lot of genealogy, a lot of names thrown at you. Today, we're going to get knee-deep into Genesis chapter 12. And chapter 12 is when Abram, makes it onto the scene. So first, let us pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together to study your word. Thank you for the fellowship that we have here. It's a privilege to serve you, and may we serve you forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, let's start with Abram. We're just going to go ahead and call him Abraham from the get-go, because that's what we all know him by. Abraham, originally named Abram, he was born in the city of Ur. And he was Ur of the Chaldeans, which is present-day Iraq, around 2000 B.C. So I do have a slide that we're going to look at here in just a moment. So we're going to look a little bit at where Abraham started from and where he was going in chapter 12. Now, if you'll see here on the overhead, where Ur is down in the bottom right-hand corner there, almost at the Persian Gulf, all right? And we are going to talk more about that in just a moment. Another thing to know about Abraham, he's venerated in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, okay? So this is one subject that actually all three of these religions have in common. Abraham's father, his name is Terah. We learn that in chapter 11. And Terah had three sons, Abraham being one of the three. Terah had a daughter by another wife, okay? And her name was Sarai. We know her as Sarah. Abraham ends up marrying Sarah, his half-sister. We find this in, I look for this. Looking all through this chapter, I'm like, I know he marries a sister, but it didn't say he married a sister. So after looking around, I'm like, there it is. Okay, in Genesis 20, verse 12, says, "And she really is my sister, for we both have the same father, but from different mothers, and I married her." So there you go. So we're going to start chapter 12 with verse 1. "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you.'" Does this not hit close to home for most of us here? A lot of us left where we were from. We left our family members. We left our friends to do what God asked us to do in a foreign land. What we see here in verse 1 is obedience to God's calling. God called Abraham to leave his country, his people, and his father's household and go to the land God would show him. Abraham obeyed God's calling without knowing really where he was going or what he would find there. I know for my wife and I, this is true. Because when we left, we sold our home, we sold everything, we said goodbye to our friends and relatives. We were moving to Chiang Mai. We've never been to Chiang Mai. So this one, for me, hit close to home. This shows the importance of obeying God's calling, even when we do not understand it fully. We're going to look real quick at Acts 7:3. God told him, "Leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you." So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to the land which you now live. Now, there's a reason we just went over this. Because God told Abraham to go to the land, the promised land. But we did not know, unless you look at what Stephen was saying in Acts, that there was a pit stop along the way. And that pit stop was Haran. So, if we could go back to that map again. Okay. So if we'll look, again, he's from Ur, okay? For me, that's South Carolina. They left South Carolina. He went up, he went through Babylon, and he stayed in Haran with his father till the end of his father's days. We would not have known he stayed in Haran had we not heard that in Acts from Stephen himself. In verse 2 of Genesis chapter 12, it says, I will make you into a great nation. This is where we get into the I wills. So what's the first one? I will make you into a great nation, all right? I will bless you and make you famous. Here we are talking about him thousands of years later. And you will be a blessing to others. This is trusting in God's promises. God promised to make Abraham into a great nation and to bless him, despite being childless and old. Abraham trusted in God's promise and believed that God would fulfill it. This shows the importance of trusting in God's promises, even when they seem impossible. In verse 3, we say, I will bless those who bless you. Let's talk about this one for just one moment. This is going to be kind of a tangent. I will bless those who bless you. Now, for those of you who know the United States well in the news, we all know that the United States is on a very spiraling trip downward. And a lot of people wonder, why hasn't God's judgment been brought over the United States at this point? And one of the reasons I personally think is because of this. I will bless those who bless you. For right now, the United States does back up and support the country of Israel. I believe we need to keep following and trusting and blessing Israel as much as we can. So I believe that these I wills, especially this one, has a lot to do with the country that I'm originally from. It also goes on to say, and cursed those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. In verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord has instructed, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. 75 years old when he left. He's old. Yeah, he's old. I'm not old. He's old. All right, verse 5, he took his wife, Sarah, his nephew Lot, which we'll find out more about in some later chapters, and all of his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran. He headed for the land of Canaan, where they arrived in Canaan. By the way, this is the first mention in the Bible of the land of Canaan. All right? Verse 6, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up a camp beside the Oak of Moriah. At that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give you this land to your descendants. I will give this land to your descendants. And Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abraham traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. Then Abraham continued traveling south by stages toward Negev. Now I'd like to see that other map, if you'd please throw that up here. I kind of want to show you where exactly this area is on a present-day map. So if you see where that red dot is, that's where we started from Ur, okay? It's down there in present-day Iraq. And as you can see, it's close to Kuwait. It's close to the Persian Gulf. So this is the area that we're talking about in present-day. And as you already know, where Canaan's going to end up being. But anyway, there is a more up-to-date map of the way things look now, thousands of years later. All right. We're going to look at verse 10. At that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abraham to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife, Sarah, look, you are a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Let's kill him. Then we can have her. So please tell them that you are my sister, They will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you. This is very odd. Now, do you notice here, God did not say, hey, make something up. I know it's sort of the truth, but just, you know, make this up. No. Note, God did not tell Abraham to say, this is his sister. This is what he came up with, all right? I don't know if he didn't look for God's guidance on this. I don't know if he thought he was super smart and this is what he was going to do. But this is what he did. He wasn't necessarily lying, but he wasn't necessarily telling the truth. Kind of like a politician. He's riding the line there. Just a little bit of truth, a little bit of not truth. So let's find out what happens. And sure enough, when Abram arrived in Egypt, everyone noticed Sarah's beauty. Now, I'd like to just take a second here. So if Abraham's 75, I'm going to assume his wife is somewhere around 75. Even 65. She must have been an incredibly beautiful woman. I just like to say that because did anyone not ever think of that when they're reading this? It's like, well, if he's 75, then did they marry when she was... Anyway. So know that Sarah had some remarkable beauty going on. Because we're going to talk about her beauty a little bit more. When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to Pharaoh, their king. And Sarah was taken into his palace again. Wow. In verse 16, we see, then Pharaoh gave Abraham many gifts because of her. Sheep, goats, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. All right? 17. But the Lord sent a terrible plague upon Pharaoh and his household because Sarah, Abraham's wife. In other words, God does not approve of this arrangement. And he is going to make it known to Pharaoh himself. And this is where if we stray away from God's counsel, we shouldn't be surprised if there's dire consequences. So Pharaoh summons Abraham and accuses him sharply. What have you done to me? He demanded, why did you not tell me that Sarah was your wife? The Pharaoh feels betrayed. All right, so let's see how this is going to pan out. You decide to lie. All right, you're gonna take the bull by the reins and do this yourself. Do it your way. It's not working out so well. Why did you say she is my sister and allow me to take her as my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and get out of here. So there was some good, I'm going to say, that did come out of this situation. Is a lot of the things that Abraham did receive from Pharaoh, he got to keep. Okay, but this probably was not the right way to go about doing this. That's all I'm saying. And we look at the final chapter. This is not a very long chapter. Okay, this is a very short chapter. We see that Pharaoh ordered some of his men to escort them, meaning they wanted to make sure that he really left. Now, why would they want to make sure he really left? Why would you send escorts if you just told him to leave? We don't know what these plagues were necessarily, but I'm going to assume they were very bad, and he brought them to that land. I would make sure he was escorted as well, untouched, unhurt, to get these plagues and this curse away from my land. And he sent Abraham out of the country along with his wife and all of his possessions. Now, it is interesting to think too, why didn't God just let Abraham sit there and whatever happened to him, happened to him? There was a promise that God made to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. God had vested interest in Abraham and his wife at this point. He's going to make sure that they get out of this, even though they should never have been in that situation to begin with. Another thing I couldn't find is it says that there was a famine in the land, so they went to Egypt. But it doesn't say who told Abraham to go to Egypt. So we don't know this. We don't know if maybe, this is again speculation. We don't know that if Abraham is like, well, you know what? Nothing's growing. We need to get out of here. Or did he actually, you know, pray to God and ask for a miracle to happen? We just don't know what the circumstances were. All we do know is that he left because of a famine and went to Egypt. And do we all know why he would have went to Egypt in these times? When we think of Egypt now, we think of a desert, and it may not be true, but we think of a desert. We think of the pyramids. We think of sand. We don't think of thriving crops and food galore. But believe it or not, that's the way it was back then. Alexandria, Egypt, and everywhere is full of food. Things were right there for crops. So apparently there was no famine there at that time. So that's where they ended up. Now, what can we learn from this? We learn that Abraham obeys God. He listened to God and he followed God's will. And he trusted God's promises. And those promises are still valid to this day. And another thing, when we say, which I always found interesting, he said, I will make you a father of many nations, and your descendants will be, you know, like the stars in the sky. But then we find out in the new, you know, in other books of the Bible, that those with faith in God are actually the children of Abraham. So it's not necessarily the bloodline of Abraham. It's those who have faith in God Almighty. So anyway, I find this story very interesting. And it's also hits me close to home because nobody's perfect. As we can see here, Abraham didn't necessarily do things the way we think he should have, which again makes me relate to him just a little bit better. That he thought he knew what would be the best situation to get out of a sticky situation, and it wasn't. And God had to bail him out. It's a lot that has to do with my life. I always thought that I had all the answers for everything. I did. I really, for a long time, I was very prideful. Thought I knew everything. Nobody could tell me anything. And all that did was lead to a life of depression and unhappiness. It wasn't until I surrendered my will over to God and actually followed his will did I actually find joy in my life and purpose. So this chapter, chapter 12, there's a lot of lessons that you can learn just from this one chapter. And I'm glad I got to go over this one tonight. And anyway, I'd like to close this real quick in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us this history lesson from a long time ago. And thank you for your I wills that you gave to Abraham. Thank you for giving us the full story of Abraham and letting us know of the good things and the not so good things, the decisions that were made, and how you backed up your promise to him and made him a father of many nations. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.